Some older Bombardier regional jets get new operating restrictions in the U.S. and Canada. NASA says the drunk astronaut rumors are bogus. And Lisa Nowak pleads insanity. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 30th, 2007. The Wall Street Journal reports the Federal Aviation Administration and Canada's Transportation Safety Board have placed tight operating restrictions on older Bombardier CRJ-100, 200, and 440 aircraft. Those types are in operation with several North American commuter airlines. Reuters says regulators made their final decision following several reports of stuck flaps and several no-flap landings. No related fatal accidents have been reported. Both agencies have reportedly ordered changes in maintenance, pilot training, and dispatching practices. The restrictions cover acceptable runway conditions and lengths for no-flap landings, carrying extra fuel in order to reach an alternate airport if necessary, and altitude restrictions. The FAA has also identified a minimum operating temperature at cruise altitude of minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit, as extreme cold may prevent the flaps from deploying, according to the journal. The restrictions apply to about 684 aircraft in operation in the U.S. and at least another 300 elsewhere. None of the affected planes are still in production. A spokesman for Bombardier told the journal the manufacturer issued a voluntary safety bulletin in March and that the company has been working with regulators and airlines to develop a permanent fix. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration said Wednesday it found no supporting evidence for reports of astronauts flying into space while inebriated. NASA Safety Chief Brian O'Connor said he was unable to verify any case in which an astronaut or spaceflight crew member was impaired on launch day. As ANN reported, NASA Administrator Michael Griffin called for investigations by the NASA Astronaut Healthcare System Review Committee into the physical and emotional states of the agency's astronauts, following the February arrest of then-astronaut and Navy Captain Lisa Nowak. The report noted two occasions where astronauts were permitted to fly into space despite evidence of heavy use of alcohol by astronauts in the immediate pre-flight period. That report cited anonymous interviews with flight surgeons and astronauts. The alleged offenders, dates, and missions were not named either, according to Bloomberg. O'Connor said he interviewed 90 people associated with shuttle missions in the past 20 years. Several staff flight surgeons denied ever seeing anyone impaired by alcohol prior to a shuttle or Russian Soyuz flight, or even before training on a T-38. Lisa Nowak and her legal defense team, meanwhile, have filed notice with the court that a temporary insanity defense could be presented when her trial begins in September. Nowak is charged with attempted kidnapping with intent to inflict bodily harm, burglary with a weapon, and battery. Nowak, who's a married mother of three, allegedly drove 900 miles from Houston to Orlando in February to confront Colleen Shipman, who she considered a rival for the affections of fellow astronaut Navy Commander William Ofeline. Nowak and Ofeline trained together as first-time shuttle flyers last year, but flew separate missions. Both have since been dismissed from NASA. CNN reports the notice listed several mental health diagnoses in support of the defense strategy, including depression, obsessive-compulsive disorder, insomnia, and a brief psychotic disorder. She's said to have lost 15% of her body weight just before the arrest while suffering from these disorders. The FAA has issued its second airworthiness directive in 4 days, covering wing slats on Boeing 737s. In the first, the agency gave affected airlines 24 days to inspect all 737s, with slat configurations similar to the one which shed a bolt on a China Airlines jet, causing a fire and explosion. In the latest AD, issued late Tuesday, the FAA ordered that time frame stepped up to 10 days. In explaining the escalation of concern, FAA spokesman Les Doerr told the Associated Press, inspections this week found two planes in which parts had come off the slat downstop assembly and were lying loose in the housing, including one which had damaged the housing wall. Doerr predicted that the AD, which currently affects 783 planes in the U.S., will be duplicated by other countries. A total of 2,287 newer 737s worldwide are said to be susceptible to the problem. Up next on ANN, a student on his first solo gets 51 miles off course and into big trouble. Boeing celebrates its 1,000th 777, and orders for 19 airliners are canceled by Kuwait's government. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 30th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Lots of student pilots have trouble with visual navigation on their first few solos. But one student pilot in Indiana got more than a little off course on Sunday. While 69-year-old Ken Sharp thought he was approaching Purdue University Airport in Lafayette, he was actually 51 nautical miles south of where he thought he was, and in Indianapolis International's airport's airspace. The tower at Indy began tracking Sharp when he was 3 miles northwest of the airport. Controllers directed him to land on any runway immediately. Three other incoming aircraft were holding for him. FAA's Tony Molinaro told the Indianapolis Star, quote, "We determined that if he wasn't sure where he was, we wanted to land him right away. We didn't want to take any chances with him being up in the air," unquote. The novice pilot was greeted to a swarm of airport police upon landing, but he was not arrested. He was, however, told by officers he could face federal charges for entering Indy's airspace without permission. The Star said Sharp could not be reached for comment. But then, in all fairness, would you be answering your phone? Boeing Aircraft Company's Everett, Washington plant is celebrating its 40th anniversary and the delivery of the 3,000th wide-body airliner manufactured there. Now, Everett has a couple more milestones to celebrate. Boeing announced Wednesday an order from Brazil's TAM Airlines for four additional 777s, which turns over the fourth digit on that plane's salesometer. 1,003 777s have now been ordered since the popular wide-body debuted in 1990. The new order also represents the 100th 777 order of 2007. TAM's first 777-300ER is scheduled to be delivered in June 2008. Prior to ordering its 8 777s, TAM was an exclusive Airbus operator. TAM CEO Marco Antonio Bologna commented, quote, "The Boeing 777 provides TAM with unmatched revenue-generating capability, beginning with fuel savings and environmental benefits. Further, this is a plane long-haul passengers recognize for its spaciousness, comfort, and award-winning interiors," unquote. The 777-300ER is the world's largest long-range twin-engine jetliner and can carry 365 passengers up to 7,880 nautical miles. Boeing says the design provides the lowest fuel consumption and overall operating costs in its class. Kuwait Airways order for 19 new aircraft from aviation lease and finance company, more commonly called ALAFCO, has been canceled. BBC reports the $3 billion deal for 7 Airbus A320s and 12 Boeing Dreamliners failed to obtain government approval. Kuwait Airways was reportedly in a hurry to replace its aging fleet and was to have paid a 10-15% early delivery fee for the aircraft. The carrier's continuing financial troubles appear to have forced the government to block that purchase. Shares in ALAFCO fell a full 7% after the announcement. Aero News learned this week the American Eurocopter Business Unit of EASE North America has been granted production authorization for UH-72A and EC-145 helicopters, enabling U.S. production for military and civilian customers. EADS North America is supplying the UH-72A Lakota as the U.S. Army's new light utility helicopter, while its civilian EC-145 version is offered for medical airlift, law enforcement, and corporate customers. The first U.S.-made Lakota was delivered to the U.S. Army Monday from American Eurocopter's Columbus, Mississippi facility. The Army has a requirement for up to 322 Lakotas in a 10-year program with a total life cycle value of over $2 billion. To meet the demand, the Columbus factory is expanding to a total covered area of 325,000 square feet and its workforce is growing to about 330 employees. As ANN reported, a recent Pentagon study, based largely on the findings of the first cruise at Fort Irwin, indicated some modifications would be needed before the Lakota was approved for full-scale deployment. The Army's light utility helicopter fleet will be used primarily within the U.S. for homeland security operations, medical evacuation, logistics, and drug interdiction missions. Many will be deployed to Army National Guard units throughout the country, freeing up larger helicopters for assignment to other duties. Still ahead, Boeing gets the contract to start work on Ares 1. New Zealand's CAA reports on the Chris Barnes accident. And Fantasy Air USA makes the Allegro LSA wider. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avadyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 30th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. NASA on Tuesday selected Boeing's facility in Huntsville, Alabama, as the contractor to provide manufacturing support for design and construction of the upper stage of the Ares 1 rocket. Ares 1 will launch astronauts to the International Space Station and eventually help return humans to the moon. Boeing will provide support to a NASA-led design team during the design phase and will be responsible for production of the Ares 1 upper stage. The half-billion-dollar contract calls on Boeing to manufacture a ground test article, 3 flight test units, and 6 production flight units to support NASA's flight manifest through 2016. Final assembly of the upper stage will take place at NASA's Michoud Assembly Facility in New Orleans. Ares 1 is a 2-stage rocket that will carry the crew exploration vehicle Orion. The upper stage, with an engine and an avionics unit procured separately, will provide the navigation, guidance, control, and propulsion required for the second stage of the rocket's ascent. The upper stage development is managed by NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. 50-year-old Chris Barnes of New Zealand was a champion speedboat and race car driver and had experience in his Hughes 369E helicopter. But he was a relative newcomer to the lightweight Robinson R-22, and New Zealand's Civil Aviation Authority believes that inexperience in type is what led to the deaths of Barnes and his 45-year-old passenger, Kim Austin. According to the CAA report, the accident flight was the first Barnes had flown in the accident aircraft. He had just over 21 hours in type. Quote, "An uncorrected low-G situation is likely to have initiated the accident sequence. The reason for the low-G situation could not be determined," unquote. The helo came down inverted. There was evidence the engine was not running, and there was no rotor movement at the time of impact. Weather, on January 10, 2004, was not an issue. In the U.S., the FAA issued a special federal aviation regulation in 1990, adding unique training and currency requirements to pilots of and instructors in R-22 and R-44 helicopters. The requirements focus on recognition of low-G conditions, which can cause rapid decay of rotor RPM, mast bumping, and rotor strikes on the airframe if not handled appropriately. The Robinson R-22 is a favorite among flight schools for its low purchase and maintenance costs. Many prospective sport pilots have the same first apprehension about the breed when they start kicking tires. Can I fit in one? Recognizing it's a common issue, especially among the U.S. population, Fantasy Air USA recently announced a door upgrade which adds elbow room to its Allegro Light Sport plane. The new composite-wrapped, lockable bubble doors are standard in all new Allegros, and they provide an additional 3 inches of elbow room for a 46-inch wide cockpit. Fantasy Air says the sleek styling also elevates the look of the factory-built aircraft. Allegro pilots will also appreciate new headset holders in the top of the cockpit, which allow the passenger or pilot an unobstructed entry. Fantasy Air USA's Light Sport Training School is about 30 miles southwest of Raleigh, North Carolina. Traditional as well as accelerated training is available. The company's home field is Sanford Lee County Regional Airport in North Carolina. The non-towered airport is about 6 years old, with a 6,500-foot paved runway and a modern FBO with on-site testing services. And finally, relations between the U.S. and Canada are generally friendly, with the possible exception of U.S. citizens trying to speak English in Montreal. So why is a member of Canada's parliament making an international stink over a U.S. fighter allegedly spotted 5 miles into Canadian airspace over British Columbia? MP Alex Adamanenko told Defense Minister Peter McKay to demand a U.S. account on the accusation. Quote, "From all indications, an unidentified foreign fighter jet has violated our airspace. We've done our homework. It looks like it was a U.S. fighter jet," unquote. The Canadian press cited witness reports on June 18th that a jet came from the direction of the U.S. flying very low over the airport in Trail, British Columbia, then flew over town. U.S. officials at Fairchild Air Force Base in Spokane, Washington, and Whidbey Island Air Base near Seattle deny any U.S. military aircraft were in the area at that time. Canada's Ministry of Transportation said it conducted a thorough investigation and confirmed it was not a Canadian forces jet. With both countries denying the plane was theirs, it's not clear whether the incident can ever be resolved to Adamanenko's satisfaction. On the other hand, maybe he was just throwing a Schumer snit, and he'll recover completely once the TV cameras leave. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Dr. David Dinges of the National Space Biomedical Research Institute. His team has developed a simple device which can quickly test an astronaut's mental and physical preparation to tackle complex, dangerous tasks, and even test whether a driver is impaired before starting his car. We'll talk about the device and its implications. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.